that happens in life can happen in a show. You can make them laugh, you can make them cry. Anything, anything can go.
Welcome to your weekend. This is Weekend Showcase, your North State Arts Magazine. I'm Tom Kenny. Coming up on this program, we visit two North State theaters, one in Chico and one in Redding. At Chico's Blue Room Theater, we'll talk with the four-actor cast from The Glass Menagerie, the touching, funny, and heartbreaking Tennessee Williams classic. And at Redding's Riverfront Playhouse, an intriguing science fiction drama opens tomorrow, The Man from Earth, about a character who may be 14,000 years old. We'll talk with the directors and cast. That's coming up over the next half hour here on Weekend Showcase. Stay tuned. First, here's Brian Maul with the North State Arts Calendar.
The newest exhibit at the Shasta College Art Gallery in Redding, Building an Educational Resource, Selections from the Shasta College Permanent Art Collection. View these works in Building 300 on campus, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., or in the evening, Monday through Thursday, 6 to 9. In Redding tomorrow night at the Cascade Theater, Mark Cohen celebrates the 25th anniversary of his self-titled debut album. Joining him on stage for a portion of the show, The Blind Boys of Alabama. That show begins tomorrow night at 7:30. Tomorrow, the Orland Art Center closes its exhibit, Silk Sensations, displaying work by Tanya Mead Mullen. Her medium of choice is dyes on silk. The center's open tomorrow, 1 to 6. Chico Theater Company opens its latest production, the Broadway hit, A Chorus Line. Before you kiss today goodbye, catch tonight's opening of this classic show about dancers competing to be cast in a major musical. A Chorus Line continues through February 11th at CTC. Chico State's Janet Turner Print Museum opens its latest exhibit, Surprise! New Acquisitions. See the exciting new works the Turner has added to its holdings. This exhibition offers a chance to become familiar with the most recent additions to the collection. The Turner's open Monday through Saturday, 11 to 4. A Beautiful Life Furnishings in Chico presents Dueling Divas, an exhibition of North State agricultural and fantasy paintings by Dolores Mitchell, along with whimsical ceramic sculptures by Margaret Allen. The stores open Wednesday through Sunday, 11 to 5. In downtown Chico at the Naked Lounge Coffee House, Uncle Dad's Art Collective presents the performance Decomposition, which features experimental visual, musical, auditory pieces. Next Wednesday is the final appearance of the Decomposition series, and it starts at 7:30. Tickets available at the door or online at uncledad.co. In Grass Valley's Center for the Arts, the 4th annual Nugget Fringe Festival is back. Spanning 2 weekends, this festival, at several Grass Valley venues, features music, magic, improv, stand-up, and burlesque. 40 cutting-edge acts with the most daring artists. For info on tickets and showtimes, go to thecenterforthearts, all one word, .org. That's the calendar for this week. Today's the birthday of poet, mystery writer, and master of the macabre, Edgar Allan Poe. Words have no power to impress the mind, Poe believed, without the exquisite horror of their reality.
I'm here at the Blue Room Theater in Chico, and I just saw a performance of The Glass Menagerie, the play by Tennessee Williams. We have Joyce Henderson, who plays the mother, Amanda Wingfield. Joyce, what's it like to be one of those iconic female parts in a Tennessee Williams play?
I love Tennessee Williams. I've directed Tennessee Williams, been in several shows, and I feel like with him, it's like being on a surfboard. You have to just ride it, and if you fall off, everybody knows, you know? So it takes a lot of work. But the one thing that's great about it is it's so easy to learn his lines because it's beautiful poetry.
Well, watching the performance tonight, I was thinking about the difference between Amanda Wingfield and some of the other Southern Belle-type characters in Tennessee Williams. Your character in this has a much steelier spine, even though she may in her mind still think of herself as that genteel Southern Belle.
Absolutely. She was a single mom in the 1920s and 30s. Yeah, she had to make it on her own. No one helped her. She's had to be a survivor.
I felt that very strongly in the way you portrayed it. She is a ferocious survivor, even though she puts on that demeanor of Southern Belle gentility. There's no fragility in her.
No, but there is a sense that she lives in the past. She can't let go of that part of her, the genteel part, that gracious part, that beautiful part of her life. Everything else has been suffering.
And yet she goes back and forth between that sense of Southern gentility and a steely understanding of her situation and really a worry for her children.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I know her very well. Maybe I shouldn't have said that.
I was pleased to see that there was so much humor in the show, even though it was deeply touching. There was humor that kept cropping up.
In the very first few scenes, you see all the conflict right away off the bat. But there's conflict in any family. And it truly, truly also shows how much they love each other. Out of the love and the conflict comes also the humor. That's how they get through it. So that's a beautiful thing.
Now I'm talking with the character Laura, played by Alex Hilsey. What's it like being inside the world of Tennessee Williams, the poetry of Williams, and just the unique flavor of Tennessee Williams?
Well, it was hard, especially with the line in the play, Tom's line, "I have a weakness for symbols." Well, that's definitely Tennessee Williams speaking about himself there, I think. And I, too, feel like I have a weakness for symbols. Every prop you encounter, every costume you encounter, every character you have an exchange with, there's this kind of aura of symbol about the play. And the whole play, aside from being dreamlike and memory-like, is poetic. And that's been really wonderful to immerse myself in, and certainly I think I can say that for the rest of my cast members.
It seemed to me like you and your director played down the crippledness of the character. I mean, you didn't have a really heavy limp or anything like that. So was that a conscious choice?
That was absolutely a conscious choice. Amanda and I, we spent a day talking about it, just what my physicality would, what I should work on. I think the limp is just something she's just become accustomed to every day. She had a brace on her leg growing up in high school. It doesn't hurt her constantly, but she said, you know, every once in a while, let us see. There is pain there. There is still a reminder, a constant physical reminder to Laura that she is different, physically, just different, as well as mentally, but physically different.
Do you think that Laura's disability is more of a mental habit at this point?
It definitely acts as a crutch for her in many ways. It gives her more of a reason to escape from the world. The world will judge me for this, therefore I can't go out. I will collapse because of tripping over something or because I just have a panic attack.
Why do you think Laura got into this place of being so shy? Is it just her disability when she was in high school, or are there other forces that made her protective of herself?
This is something I actually think about every night, is what my relationship to the fifth character in the play is, and that is the father. We only see a grinning portrait of him in the play, but it says that he left about 16 years ago, and she was just a child at that time. I think my relationship with my father and him leaving was something that emotionally crippled me as Laura.
That fifth character, as you say, kind of haunts the play. Do you think that character, the absent father, put doom over this family because of what he did to the family by being alcoholic and leaving everyone?
Yes. Yes, I do. And I think Tom realizes in the show that he is about to complete the destiny that his father has left out for him to fulfill. As the man of the family, growing up, Tom seeing the man, the head of the household, leaving him, seeing the devastation that it's brought upon both financially, emotionally, all sense to the Wingfield family and what's left of it, I think there is definitely a heavy sense of impending doom.
Alex, how did you build up for yourself this intensely insular feeling? You're a person who is scared to talk to people, scared to go out into the world. How did you build up that intensely personal place for your character?
Because I think it comes from a very personal place. I myself am very reclusive in many respects. I've told my fellow castmates this. I don't really have to do a lot of acting. I just kind of allow all the anxieties that I experience every day to just inhabit me for these 2 hours. That is hard, but it's also for me very cathartic. I think that's just another reason why acting keeps calling back to me.
Now we're talking with the actor who plays the gentleman caller, the much hoped for visitor to the Wingfield family. This is Jeremy Votava. Jeremy, what's it like being the outsider to this family, coming into this thing, really not knowing what to expect?
Well, it's interesting trying to figure that out, honestly, because he doesn't know what to expect. He's just watching it going, what is going on with this family? You're trying to be cool. He obviously enjoys their company, but things are a little bit off from the beginning, you know. He's just trying to figure things out and who these people are, I guess.
It seems like the way you played it, there developed an actual bond between you and Laura. I really felt that more than in some other performances of this play I've seen.
Jim, in high school, obviously he was a popular guy. He was the president of all these clubs and the star of the basketball team and everything. He was the type that got along with everyone. And I know, I honestly was kind of like that. I knew a lot of people like that, that got along with everybody. I think he went out of his way probably to befriend Laura because she was different. And I think he really believes in the things that he says, that being different is nothing to be ashamed of.
You know, when I was watching your main scene, the one with Laura, I couldn't help but feel that your character, Jim, had something internal where he felt an insulation from people that he never showed in high school or in his lead-handing with his fellow people at work. It really seemed heartfelt when he was talking about how Laura should come out of her shell. Like he really understood her position.
I agree with you 100%. I think he's very genuine in his intentions. And he even says in one of his monologues that he never thought of himself outstanding in any way whatsoever. And yet in one of Tom's monologues, when he's describing the gentleman caller, he says, this guy was the star of the basketball team, the captain of the debating team, I think like the chess club and four other things. Like he was a star, the lead in the operetta. When Laura speaks to him, you know, she's so enamored by who he was in high school. At this point, Jim says, when I left high school, I thought I'd be a lot further along at this time than I am now.
Do you think that that's why he feels separated from truly successful people? Because he got out of high school where everybody made a big deal out of him, and then suddenly he was in a world where he was just one more Joe Schmo.
Yeah, exactly. In the Torch, the yearbook, they said he was going to succeed in anything he went into. At this point, he's working at the warehouse, but he's trying to better himself by taking night classes, you know, and radio engineering and studying public speaking. And he believes in the future of television. He wants to be on TV. And who doesn't? But he's very driven. I think my favorite quote that stands out for me is when he's talking to Laura and he says, being disappointed is one thing and being discouraged is something else. Now, I might be disappointed, but I am not discouraged. You might be a little down, but just don't get discouraged.
I appreciate the way you played it. your character went beyond that kind of boosterism. I think that character can be played as this guy who's going through the motions of having that booster attitude, and yet you seem sincere.
Like we talked about, he befriended Laura in high school, and Laura was different, and he was the star of everything, and yet he had a speaking acquaintance with Laura. Of course, Laura says, "I didn't think you'd remember me," and he kind of remembers him. You know, who knows if Tennessee really thought that he really genuinely remembered her? I don't know. But I think he really kind of falls in love with her during that scene. You know, they get so carried away.
I agree with that. As an audience member, I was so much thinking, oh, this is working out. And of course, I know the play. I know what's going to happen. But just the way you guys played it, oh, this is really working out. They really do have a way of coming together and helping each other. Is it a crashing feeling for you on each performance to have to break off that wonderful connection?
It's honestly hard. I mean, I cried real tears for some reason during Tech Week. I got way too emotional. I think I was really in the moment. Jim is genuinely trying to help Laura. Things happen, which I don't want to give it away, but he also really genuinely appreciates the conversation they had, the souvenir he gets, and the advice he gives. He's really genuinely trying to be helpful and wants Laura to enjoy life, break out of her shell, and be who she's meant to be.
Now we're going to be talking with the actor who plays Tom Wingfield. Evan Allen, what's it like for you knowing this is what Tennessee Williams called a memory play and that the whole thing is being filtered through your character's memories?
It certainly is Tennessee Williams' memories, a kind of a light version of it. His life was much more tragic than the play lets on. The play, although it's tragic, it's quite nothing compared to it. And to come out of that, to have a sentimental and light and humorous play is amazing that he could just leave all that behind him.
Well, it falls on you to welcome the audience into this world of your memory. What's it like addressing the audience directly at the beginning of the play and at other points throughout the play?
I love the convention Williams has adopted, that dreamlike quality. When he comes out, he's establishing this mood that just sinks us in. The convention, as soon as it's set, we fall right into that world. We're willing to participate in his memory, and it is his memory.
Even though, you know, there's poetry and all of that, do you feel that you're taking them into the truth of life?
I feel that it's a poetic version of Tennessee Williams' life. It's a magical journey back in time and memory. It's a memory play.
The Tennessee Williams play, The Glass Menagerie, is on stage tonight and tomorrow night, and then continues Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturday nights through February 11th at the Blue Room Theater in Chico. There's an intriguing science fiction play on stage in Reading. In just a moment, we'll be taking you to Riverfront Playhouse to hear all about it. ¶¶ Reading correspondent Kelly is at one of Reading's favorite venues for live theater, Riverfront Playhouse.
I'm Kelly Frost with Spencer Deerdorf, co-director of The Man from Earth at the Riverfront Playhouse. Can you tell me a brief synopsis of the play?
Well, John Oldman is a professor at a prestigious university, and he decides to leave his job. His friends show up and are curious as to why he's moving on after such a short time, and after some prodding, he eventually explains to him that he's a 14,000-year-old caveman. He moves on every 10, 15 years because he doesn't age, and so he wants to attract the least amount of attention and just move on quietly.
Do his friends accept that premise, or do they think maybe he's a little cuckoo?
Oh, there's definitely some disbelief from his friends. There's some anger.
Does the audience ever find out if he's really a caveman?
At various points, it becomes more ambiguous than others. I think by the end of the show, each audience member can make a decision for themselves. You'll see many twists.
It sounds like it fits in the science fiction genre, but is it a comedy? Is it a drama?
There's a few comedic moments, but it's definitely much more a drama. The writer is Jerome Bixby. He was famous for The Twilight Zone, the original Star Trek TV show. He's a name that many science fiction fans will know.
Sounds like an interesting premise. I'm going to talk to your co-director over here for a minute. Can you tell me your name?
Hi, I'm Daryl Alvey, co-director with Spencer.
Explain to me, co-director, explain to me the hierarchy here.
Ordinarily, it would be a director, but this play has several unique layers to it. Not only the blocking, the way that actors move around the stage and interact with each other, but because they're all professors, we're especially concerned about their language, their pronunciations, their sentence structure, and that they follow the script very closely as the author had written it. And so I have one of those responsibilities, and Spencer has the other.
I'm guessing if this was written by Bixby, who also wrote for Star Trek and The Twilight Zone, it probably was written in the 60s. So is that the time frame of the play?
Well, we're setting the play in modern day. The really nice thing about the story is, like the main character itself, it's kind of outside of time. You don't really need to set it in a certain time period. You can just bring it all the way up to modern day and just allow us to directly relate to the characters.
Who do you think would be really interested in this?
Well, anybody who likes to have discussions. There's a lot of different philosophical questions that are asked by the play. If you like to be provoked into thought, then you're going to really enjoy the play.
Tell me your name, please, and then tell me the name of your character.
My name is Tammy Jones, and I play Edith. Edith is an art history professor, 50-ish, spinster-like. She's also a devout Christian.
Tell me a little bit about how she feels when the main character reveals that he's a caveman.
She's a bit in disbelief. The other people around her that are more science-driven keep saying that it could be possible and give reasons, but she's just sort of a doubting Thomas in that regard.
Thanks for talking to me. Tell me your name and the character you play.
I'm Chris Gomez, and I play Harry. Harry is a biology professor who is got a sense of humor a little more than the rest of the group. And when he hears the story that's being told to him, I think he's a little more open to it because everything that's being told to him is more in line with scientific theory as opposed to belief systems. So he's more inclined to go with what he knows scientifically, and hearing the story makes him more inclined to believe than some of the rest of the other people in the group.
Sounds like each professor would have their own specialty and would bring a different kind of perspective to what's being talked about here.
Yeah, there's an anthropologist, an archaeologist, a biologist, and a Christian literalist. So yes, each one very much sees things in a different way from how you're hearing the story of a man who could be 14,000 years old.
And it sounds like your character maybe has a little bit of belief, or at least a possibility that it could be true?
I believe so, yeah, because there's a lot of things that he doesn't believe at first, and he calls it out. Like, he likes to point out what doesn't make sense, but when given the explanation to make sense, then he comes around slowly to the whole process, yeah.
Tell me your name, and then tell me your character's name.
I'm Ian Dalzell, and I play John Oldman.
The Man from Earth.
Yes, he is. He is the titular character of the show.
Do you believe that your character really is from the past?
That's for the audience to figure out and decide for themselves.
Your character has been a professor here at this college for 10 years and then makes this announcement to all of his colleagues. Tell me kind of how that works out.
Well, he's just coming back from his sudden retirement party, and he's just packing things up, getting ready to go, when he's surprised by all his colleagues. First, he's kind of hesitant to say anything to these people. As the night progresses a little bit more, he starts getting the idea in his head to say these things and just see how it all goes.
But it sounds like the audience is never really going to figure out for sure if it's true or not.
I think they'll have a pretty good idea, but there's always going to be a little bit of questions that they can ask themselves afterwards, and hopefully it'll make them want to come back later to see if they missed anything or learn more about it.
And as an actor, do you prepare yourself to think, well, maybe I could be a caveman?
That's one I'll be working on throughout the whole run of this show, but it's just, I try to put myself into that mindset, which is a crazy mindset for sure, but I just do what I can to think about what I would be like in that position, whether I would enjoy it or not. Personally, I think I would, but that's me.
The Man from Earth opens at Reading's Riverfront Playhouse tomorrow night and plays through February 11th. And that's Weekend Showcase for this week. We'll be back next Friday at 3 o'clock. If you ever miss this program at its regular broadcast time, you can hear it online anytime after 3:30 Friday at mynspr.org. As always, we encourage you to enjoy the arts in the North State. For Weekend Showcase, I'm Tom Kinney. Weekend Showcase is a production of North State Public Radio.